Welcome to the Virginia Athletics Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff White from virginiasports.com. And joining me today at John Paul Jones Arena is the consummate UVA student athlete, and that's Jocelyn Willoughby from the women's basketball team. Jocelyn, thanks for coming over. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
So I kind of feel like I've seen a number of media appearances for you. It's like catching an author on a book tour. I'm sure you have some good material left for us, but I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too.
So over the years, I've interviewed several student athletes who lived on the lawn. You are the first one, though, who made it to the lawn as a third-year student. How exactly did that work? I didn't even know that was a possibility till you made it to the lawn this year.
Well, I didn't know exactly the timing until I applied. The lawn, it's for fourth years,
right?
But really it's for anyone in their final year of undergrad. And so I came in knowing, like, okay, there's a possibility I can graduate in three given the credits that I brought in.
Yeah, did you come in with a lot of credits?
Yeah, I came in by the start of fall first year. I had 16 credits.
Okay.
And then we're here every summer training and taking classes. So I knew it was possible to graduate in three. And so that was kind of one of my goals. And then from that, it was like, okay, I didn't come in thinking I wanted to live on the lawn. It was just something over time that I thought, oh, this would be cool. And so last year when I applied, I was like, well, I don't know if I'm eligible this year, being that I'm going to be a third year but graduating
right
early. And so then I just had to do some of the research. And I'm actually not the only third year on the lawn right now. There's another third year, Sam, who's living there. But
so what did you pick as your major?
So I'm a global studies major with a concentration in global development.
So you graduate in May. What are your plans for your fourth year then?
So I'm going to be doing the I applied for the accelerated public policy program in Baton, and I got in, but the scheduling just did not work out with, you know, finishing my undergrad, basketball, and that. So I'm going to defer that and start that program next year, my fourth year.
So the sun is making a rare appearance in Charlottesville this morning.
Yes.
I'm guessing it's nicer when you have to leave your lawn room, as you sometimes do,
yes,
to walk outside into the sun rather than the gloom and the rain.
Oh, yeah. It's such a huge difference. I mean, I think I'm starting to realize what the downside of the lawn is. You know, being that you don't have restrooms in your actual room when it's raining, and you're like, oh, I have to walk through this to go to the bathroom. But it's definitely just a different environment, warmer, more inviting when it is sunny.
On the basketball front, mm-hmm, the big news for the program obviously was the coaching change that occurred at the end of last season. Joanne Boyle retired to concentrate on her daughter and family issues. Tina Thompson was hired. Some student athletes go through their whole careers with the same coaching staff. Others have multiple coaches or position coaches depending on what sport they play.
Yeah.
What's the transition been like for you?
I think it's overall it's been good. It's been a little bit challenging as well. You know, change is hard in general. As you said, some players are able to play for the same coach for their 4 years, and that's something that I anticipated in coming
right
to Virginia. So it was hard to see Coach Boyle step away, and just seeing some of other coaching staff members change as well. But, you know, you respect their personal and professional obligations and their aspirations. But then we also have to keep, you know, stay focused and say, it's going to be a transition. There are going to be some challenges to it. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of growth that will come. And we've started to see some of this growth just in terms of, how fundamentally sound we're becoming as
right
a team. Just a different mindset and mentality to the game, being more competitive or learning to be more competitive. So I think it's, you know, there's pros and cons to everything. But the transition has been going well so far. And we're just looking forward to a great season.
Joanne is still in town. Do you talk with her periodically? Or
yeah, she reaches out to us every now and then just to, you know, because she's still connected to the program.
Yep.
You know, all of our coaches and even former players and teammates, they reach out to us, see how everything's going, encourage us. And so, you know, we're looking forward to seeing her this coming year at some of our games, or we know she'll be at the meet and greet the team. So, she still is connected to the program, and we still have a connection.
The team advanced to the second round of the NCAA tournament last season before losing to South Carolina at South Carolina.
Yeah.
I remember talking to you after the game there about how this could possibly, you know, be a springboard for the program going into this season with the nucleus of that team coming back. Have you felt that in practice or off-season workouts? Is that something you build on, or do you start from square one every year?
I think it's definitely something that we build on. You know, for me, there's no going back. It's only forward. I think in terms of starting square, you know, it's a completely different team with a new coaching staff. So, you know, we kind of do have to start fresh. So many of us players have to kind of figure out our role and identity on this team as we graduate at four. So, you know, there is some degree of starting fresh, mm-hmm. but, you know, we're not starting from the bottom. We've already kind of established an expectation and certain level of where we want to be. And so there's no going back for us. It's all about advancing and moving forward at this point.
There are several new coaches on the staff, not only Tina Thompson, Carlene Thompson, who's not related to her.
Yeah.
Are the players familiar with Carlene's story, which is a pretty remarkable one, how when she played at USC, she had two young daughters and raised them and got her degree and played on really good teams?
Yeah, I think she's shared bits and pieces of her story, but not everything. So I do think her story is a phenomenal one and very inspiring. And I think, you know, being that she's been a student athlete, and not just student athlete, but with two children, you know, she knows some of the challenges. But at the same time, I think it's like you can't really give her an excuse because she's been there, yeah. done that, and more. And so she's definitely, from what I see so far, a player's coach in the sense that she understands what we're going through, and she's very understanding and just warm and welcoming. So
you played in all 33 games last season, but you were not 100% for every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You had that high ankle sprain. I think that was the injury before the season. How much did that inhibit you? And people have told me in other sports that it's not really something you necessarily heal, where you fully heal during the season. You need the off season for it. You feel it.
Yeah,
throughout the
I
season.
Think any injury you don't necessarily heal completely during the season because there's just no time. You have practices, and even if you modify those, you still have games, and your body is taking a beating to some degree. So you definitely do look forward to the off season. I think one of the other things with injuries is you may have a high ankle sprain, as I did have in my case, but then you have other compensation issues as you're returning to play. And so I think it wasn't necessarily just the ankle for me. It was just more so, you know, get the ankle fixed and then you have your knee, you get the knee fixed and you have your hip, you know, so it's just working its way up the chain and not feeling 100%. And so for me, a huge part of this off season was to still, you know, try and get healthy, feel and just get back to my body being feeling well. And then, you know, there's that, but then there's also the mental component of coming mm-hmm. back from any injuries. Like, you know, if I go too hard, am I going to hurt myself again? How much should I push myself to get back to where I want to be versus taking slow but steady strides and making sure that, you know, I'm in a solid place, both mentally and physically. So it's been a challenge, but I think I'm making good progress and I'm pretty happy with where I am right now.
The team opened last season at Mississippi State,
yep.
which went on to lose in the NCAA championship game on an incredible last-second shot.
Yeah.
You opened this season against Mississippi State, this time at JPJ. When you know right out of the gate you face an opponent of that caliber, does that kind of heighten the focus in the offseason, knowing a test like that is coming right off the bat?
Personally, I'd say no. I think maybe as a team, you know, our answer might differ.
Right.
But I think no. At the end of the day, it's not just about any one team. You know, you respect them and all that they've accomplished in the past few years. But at the same time, they're just another opponent. And, you know, they've changed as a team and the players that they're bringing back as well. So to a certain degree, it's, you know, what you've done in the past, what you've done last
right.
year, that's not necessarily reflective of what's going to happen this year. And so, you know, obviously there'll be a great test for us to open up against. And so it's just about building to the first, you know, regardless of who that opponent is on the first game, it's building to that. And then we have a long season after that. So constantly building up.
Who instilled in you the value of education?
I think there's just been so many people. I think definitely my parents, my mom and my dad. My mom's an educator, and my dad, he's one to always say, you know, looking outside of the formal structural education system, like anything you want to learn, you can. You can teach yourself. There's so many resources, so many books out there. And my dad's an avid reader, so he sends me articles and books all the time. I'm like, Dad, you know, I have homework too. So I don't know if I have time to read this. But I think definitely both of my parents instilled the value of education. And, you know, just teachers I've had along the way and other people in my support network.
I remember talking to the coaches when you were in high school and they were recruiting you. And you were extraordinarily thorough in the recruiting process, weren't you? And deliberate. I remember hearing you and your family had a lot of questions on the first. So it was not a spur of the moment, you know, go by your gut decision, was it? It was very deliberate.
Yeah. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you have to trust your gut and instincts, but there was a lot of thought that went into it prior to, you know, I was one who had a longer recruiting process. I took all five official visits in my senior year.
And who else did, what other schools did you visit?
My final five were second to Virginia was Northwestern. And then I also visited Vanderbilt, Stanford, and Florida State. I think that was that five?
That yeah, that's five.
Okay. And then obviously Virginia. Yeah. So.
You wrote an article that was published in the Virginia Alumni Magazine last spring about your daily schedule. I got tired just reading the article, trying to keep up with you. But have you found that people outside, you know, the realm of college athletics don't really have a true appreciation of how demanding the schedule is for, you know, people who have to balance schoolwork, social life, academics, community service, if there's time for that?
Right. I think there's some appreciation or at least some recognition. You know, I've had classes with where, you know, it comes out I'm a basketball player and they're like, oh, wow, we respect you. You know, you must be so busy all the time. And I think even though there is that appreciation, they don't quite understand how regimented your schedule is or everything that, you know, being a student athlete entails. They don't understand the early morning workouts or, you know, how you have to just really, really micromanage your time. You know, the decision after long practice, like you still have to read and do homework. And so I think there definitely is an appreciation, but the details and specifics of it, I don't think those are quite understood. And even conversations I'll have with some of my classmates now, they're like, wow, I never thought about that. But I also think it applies to the flip side, right? So as a student athlete, I don't quite understand what a normal student schedule is or what they do in their free time or, you know, how their days are regimented. So I think there is just a disconnect to a certain degree on both sides. And that's one thing that I'm interested in. And hopefully I can work on a program to, like, well, I've been thinking about this shadowing opportunity where student athletes can shadow regular students and regular students can shadow student athletes to see what a day in the life is like.
So you attend a centuries-old university and you attended a centuries-old high school. What was Newark Academy founded in 1774, according to the website? What was that experience like? And you said you came here with credit, so I would guess it prepared you academically for what you've encountered here.
Definitely. I think coming from Newark Academy, I don't know why. I just expected college to be so hard. And I think I had a pretty smooth transition academically, definitely. But one of the things my mom said to me, she's like, you'll be fine. You went to a great high school, which I definitely did. But she's like, if you know how to think, read, and write, you'll be fine, which obviously Newark Academy did prepare me for that very well. But I think, you know, part of my decision to come to UVA, I think Newark Academy is very similar. Some of just the values, you know, top education, extracurricular activities and involvement, studying abroad, those types of things were available and highly encouraged in my high school. And the same thing you see here, you know, student engagement. There's a lot of carryover, and so I think that definitely influenced my decision to come here, but then also has helped me find success in both places.
So by choosing to live on the lawn when you had that opportunity, you have to sacrifice some privacy, don't you? You're in a fishbowl. All the tourists, all the visitors want to see the lawn. And, you know, I'm sure every time you walk, or a lot of times when you walk out the door, there are people kind of staring at you or
yeah.
waiting there looking.
I think so far this year hasn't been too bad for me because, you know, as I said, they're doing a lot of construction on the lawn right now, which part of it's happening right in front of my room. So I keep my door closed when that's happening. So, and then also the weather hasn't been the best. It's been very rainy. So between those two factors, it hasn't been as much traffic, but at the same time, I think the beginning of the year, especially when there was, you know, convocation, Rotunda Sing, and just so many major events happening on the lawn, is kind of like, whoa, you really are in the center of everything, and it's very social. And so just getting used to really being at the heart and center of the university was a lot. And so I think as we get a little bit further into the fall, and hopefully as the weather clears up, then I'll be able to see more people, and especially in the spring, too, as it gets nice again.
Do your teammates use it as a hangout?
I'm surprised they actually haven't so far. I mean, if you have come by and sat high or just seen my room and stuff, but it hasn't turned into a hangout spot quite yet.
So. One of the topics you covered in the article you wrote, the headline was Getting Outside the Athletics Bubble. Have you found that you, by living there, you're engaging more with students who are not athletes than you otherwise would have?
I think to a certain degree I have. I still am looking to branch out more and, you know, meet some more of my neighbors and figure out, like, what they're involved in, some of their experiences, but then also just opening up my room more to the general community. So, you know, I'm a peer advisor and still having my advisees come over, or just, you know, random students who just have questions or just want to see inside my room. And then, you know, some of my peers from my classes, you know, having maybe study groups or just small gatherings so that, and I don't know, building community is really important to me and just, finding different areas of the community to build around.
You're a peer advisor for the Office of African American Affairs.
Yes.
So what does that entail?
So essentially every year you have to reapply to become one, and you're assigned, let's say, anywhere between 5 to 6 mentees or advisees.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really just about checking up on them and making sure that they're academically, you know, are in the right classes, not being overloaded. You know, it might include making sure that they have the proper resources or study habits, know of the different programs that are happening around grounds to make sure that they have a solid transition to the university academically, socially, and in any other area that they may need support in. And so it's something that I've really enjoyed, not only from the standpoint of being able to help someone else find their foot in the community, but then also for me it's been really big in terms of meeting other peers, upperclassmen, and just branching out that way. So I've made some nice friends through that program who are both younger and my age and older. So
you were recently featured in a video that was posted on the UVA women's basketball Twitter account. And in it, you talked a lot about living on the lawn, but also the fact that you are aware of the history of the university and the role that slave labor played in its construction.
Mm-hmm.
How big a deal is that to you? I mean, how often do you think about that? You said some things about you're aware that your ancestors did not have that same opportunity.
Yeah, I think it's so important to know your history, and I think I'm not quite a history buff, but I think that it definitely keeps you humble, right? I think one of the biggest highlights of coming to UVA, one of the things that sticks out to me, is during the welcome reception for the Office of African American Affairs. And this is part of what it motivated me to be a peer advisor. One of the things that they told us in terms of the history of the university, obviously it was built by enslaved laborers, and they said, you know, this university was built by people who look like you for you. So essentially saying, like, don't ever feel like this isn't a place for you, that you don't belong, that you aren't worthy enough to be here. And so that was really important to me from the standpoint of reclaiming the space or making sure that you own it, but then also making it so that other students feel the same way, right? Empowering them as well. And so that's something that I do I do carry with me, but I think it's not only in terms of being a woman of color, it's being a student athlete. Like you're in anything that you do or any area that you identify, you're, you know, obviously honoring those who came before you and paved the way, but you're also showing the others to come after you what the possibilities are. And so that's something that I take very seriously. And, you know, just understanding your context in the larger scheme of things is always humbling, but also inspiring. It pushes you to do more.
How often do you run into President Ryan on the lawn?
So far I've ran into him once on the lawn, which was during convocation. But I definitely know he's around as he's taking pictures with other students and just has had, had conversations or done like funny videos and things like that. So I think he's definitely present, which is nice to see.
Well, the season opener for the women's team is November 9th, which I think is about 6 weeks away.
Yeah.
A lot of practice between now and then. Hope you get a little rest somewhere in there before the season starts. And thanks again for your time and for coming over.
Thank you.
To keep up with Jocelyn and her teammates, follow at UVA Women's Hoops with no apostrophes on Twitter and Instagram. For information on our other 26 teams, visit virginiasports.com. I'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening and go Hoos.